is on Ephesians chapter 6. We will be looking at verses 14 and 15. Ephesians 6, 14 and 15. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. And the piece we'll be looking at today follows thus. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You may have observed in reading this portion of scripture from Ephesians, this passage during the course of our study, you may have observed that each piece of the wrestler's outfit serves to point to a particular spiritual truth, an important element in our faith. Look at it again. It speaks of the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. It speaks of the gospel of peace. So what do we have from these pieces of armor that each person has to wear? We learn that one has to do with truth, the other has to do with righteousness, and the other has to do with peace. Truth, righteousness, and peace. This suggests strongly that the enemy is all out to rob the church, to rob the believer of the truth. He wants us to live in error. He wants us to live in a web of lies and deception. He wants us to fake it all the time. He wants us to pretend. He wants us to do the work of a camouflage, put up a show, a false front. This is the trick the enemy plays on the unsuspecting believer, telling them or telling him or her that they can fake their way through the church, through the kingdom, and through even into heaven. In this wrestling contest, beloved, the believer who wins will never have been a winner by faking it. The winner is successful on the basis and the foundation of truth, and the truth alone. Nothing that loves or makes a lie will know victory in the kingdom of God. Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 15 talks about the exclusion from God's holy presence of whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Jesus remains and will always remain the way, the truth, and the life. In John 8 and 32, Jesus taught us, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then there is the aspect of righteousness, or right living, right doing, right thinking, right walking, right anything in our dealings and our relationships with God. To win in this wrestling match, you and I must become clothed in Christ's righteousness. In that final day, we don't want to be found having our own righteousness, which is equivalent to self-righteousness. But we want to take on the righteousness of Christ. We want to wear his righteousness. We want to cover ourselves with his righteousness, which righteousness he offers to all who will accept it. We want to be clothed in his righteousness, to put it another way. In this conflict, the enemy seeks to get you to think and act with, and even to believe, that it is your goodness, your greatness, your holiness, and your brilliance that will give you a place in God's kingdom and before God's eyes. Know this, it is not by works of righteousness which you and I have done that he has saved us. It is because of the grace, his grace, that he saved us. So, personally, we have nothing to boast about except in the work Christ has done for us, in us, and with us, and through us. It is not about you or about me. It is all about him and what he does and is doing in us and for us. Our boast must be in the Lord. And we can boast at all times in him. And we would make it clear from the beginning and in the middle and at the end that it is the Lord working in us, that has given us and is giving us the victory. The righteousness you display is not your own. It is his. Paul said, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Christ is living his life through you and through me. You are walking in a robe of righteousness that belongs to Christ. So there is no room for boasting except in Christ. The psalmist said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. The righteousness we share has been imputed. It is not our own. We did not earn it, but it was given to us by the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God. We didn't even deserve it, but he gave it to us to claim it as if it were our own. Earned and worked for is the spirit of pride, which soon leads to a fall and to destruction. All the glory must be to the Lord. The enemy strives to get you to steal what truly belongs to the Father. This will bring the victim to the fall, which is destruction. All the glory for or every success belongs to God without reserve. Give it all to Jesus. Now, we come to the protection for defeat. Remember, we are in a spiritual battle, a conflict. The enemy is trying desperately to overthrow us and to destroy us. The devil is not wanting us to succeed in our Christian life. No, he doesn't want us to succeed. He wants us to fail. The record says, the devil cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. It is not God's will, or the Lord is not willing, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The enemy is out to destroy. He is not our friend. He is not our companion in this travel. He wants to get in, and he wants to destroy us and to lead us astray, and he wants to use every subterfuge in order to get us to miss God. But in the name of Jesus and through the blood, we have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Now we come to the protection for the feet. Our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. As in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. Yes, the wrestler, the combatant, wore a particular type of sandals with spikes, preventing him from slipping, sliding, or skidding. In the natural, our feet provide us with stability, alacrity, speed, mobility, and maneuverability. The combination, the combative posture, puts the wrestler in a standing position. What does the Bible say? This passage say, stand therefore, then having done all to stand. Stand. Our feet can be adjusted to whatever position we may need for this fighting and fighting effectively. Feet that are injured will immediately limit the fighter in his effectiveness in the struggle. The enemy will seek to cut you down by disabling your feet. Your movement is curtailed. You are unable to advance or even retreat to save yourself if necessary. You are immobilized without the use of your feet. You are deprived of the advantageous position in fighting in the fray. Your feet, the standing position, is what you need in this struggle and in this battle. The moment you are down, the enemy attacks you and crushes you. Stay on your feet. You are down when your feet are out of compliance. Even one broken leg or a sprained ankle can keep you from winning this battle. But something else is needed for the feet in this conflict. Yes, you need the sandals, the appropriate footwear for this conflict. Why? Because the enemy may take the fight into an area that is rough, slippery, thorny, treacherous, strewn with all sorts of obstacles to cut you and to hurt you and to injure you, so that your spirit will be daunted. He puts you in an area or takes the fight into an area to endanger your feet or render you incapable of standing upright in the fight. He brings you into territory where the terrain is of such as would render you unsteady in the conflict. Remember, the enemy does not ever fight on a level playing field. He constantly keeps moving the goalposts. Yes, he sets up the war zone, near a hospital where the sick and the helpless and the weak are. It is there he takes cover. You are unable to strike back because you have a conscience. He doesn't. You are considerate. He isn't. So that he keeps attacking you from a position of his safety and security. But you, because you have a good conscience, you are unable to respond appropriately. Also, the devil is a wicked devil. He gets you locked in a corner where your feet are sinking and being buried in the miry clay, the sinking sand, the quicksand, even in a place where he sets the ground under you on fire. Without the sandals fastened to your feet, you are a loser. You cannot advance. You cannot perform properly when there is fire under your feet. So in faith, you need to gird on your sandals and keep them on. You will need them in this fight. And these are sandals of faith. And when you have them on, you can go through any terrain. You can go through water. You can go through fire. You can go through the flood. And what are these sandals? It is our readiness with the good news of peace, the gospel of peace. Ready with the gospel of peace. Too many filled with anger, bitterness, hatred, wrath, rebellion, and the like, when under the pressure and the conflict. Many are filled with these things when they're under pressure, and the worst comes out of them. Pressure brings out of us either the best or the worst. Spiritual warfare reveals what is really inside of us. As the furnace destroys the impurities in the gold and the silver, pressure heals us in our struggles and in our battles. It is a process that brings about positive results in our lives. Yes, these pressures we face in spiritual warfare are a blessing to us, but we do not recognize them many times. Spiritual warfare is not an experience to be afraid of or an experience to be dodged. It is God's way of making us perfect, making us whole, and making us strong in our walk in this Christian pathway. I couldn't help thinking of that old song, a line of which may run like this, that our trials only come to make us strong. The name of that song is Through It All. Every piece of the spiritual armor recommended must be put on for this battle. Even the sandals are necessary, because you could never tell where the struggle will take you. And the devil is such a devil. If you are wounded in your feet, your fighting ability is cut back severely. You cannot be limping and fighting. When the enemy sees you're limping and fighting, he attacks you first and he knocks you out. You need to put on those sandals of faith on your feet and go forward. Don't survey this terrain and say, I don't think I could make it there. The sandals of faith in the living God will take you anywhere that the fight will draw you. Keep on walking with God. Keep on walking in the Spirit, walking in the Word, walking in the light, walking honestly, walking worthy of your vocation, your calling, walking circumspectly, walking by faith and not by sight. Walk the walk and talk the talk. Abraham walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. People who have been victorious and successful walked with God. Not that the way did not become treacherous at some times. the way it did become treacherous for them. But they continued to walk, and they said to themselves and to their God, God, I'm going through because I'm not going there by myself. You are with me. You promised never to leave me nor forsake me. So, friend, today, don't look back. Don't turn back. Don't sit there and have a pity party, but just join with the songwriter who said, I'm going through, regardless of what, I am going through as I walk with God. Oh, even the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Trust in your God. Trust in our God. Trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, and he will bring you out victoriously. Let your feet be strong in this advance. Walk with Jesus every moment of every day. Let your feet bear good news. And as you walk, give God the glory. Give God the praise. Give him a hallelujah. Give him a praise the Lord. Give him a shout of victory. Let the world know that you're going through and you are not of those who turn back. So tonight we have discussed putting on the sandals of faith, the sandals of good news. And while you're going through your test and your struggle, which you will win in Jesus' name, while you're going through, give God the glory and let the peace of God abide in your heart and in your life. Having your feet shod with the gospel, with the preparation of the gospel of peace.